could have been. They are the reason I'm still living. Is God's kept me through all these years. When I was in darkness, when I was deep in sin, my God kept me from danger. My eyes fill up with tears, 'cause God's kept me through all these years.
Every day he grows dearer to me, so I'll trust him to keep me till heaven grows near, 'cause God's keeping through all these. Darkness, when I was deep in sin, my God kept me from danger time and time again. And when I think how much he loves me, my eyes fill up with tears, 'cause God's kept me through all these years. He's been there when I need him. He's kept me through all these years.
The left and some self-described Christians criticized Brett Hume, the Fox News commentator, for suggesting that the solution to Tiger Woods' problems is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hume made his remarks on Fox News Sunday, and then he discloses that I also appear on Fox News. He says, Hume said, "My message to Tiger would be, Tiger, turn to the Christian faith, and you can make a total recovery and be a great example to the world." That is a message shared for 2,000 years by those who follow Jesus of Nazareth. It apparently continues to escape the secular left that Christians feel compelled to share their faith out of gratitude for what Jesus has done for them, dying in their place on a cross and offering a new life to those who repent and receive him as Savior. In a day when some extremists employ violence to advance their religion, it is curious that many would save their criticism for a truly peace-bringing message, such as one broadcast by Brett Hume. Criticism of Hume has taken two forms. One is that it is hubris to presume the Christian faith is superior to other faiths. The other criticism is that Hume used Fox as a pulpit, and if he wants to preach, he should resign from the network and go door to door. Tom Shales, a TV and culture critic for the Washington Post, wrote, "Darts of derision should be aimed at Hume, not at his employer or at Fox News as a social force." Shales said, "It's worth a Google or two to investigate the origins of Hume's seemingly newfound fervor." Shales discovered that the, quote, cause of Hume's conversion was his son's suicide in 1998. Many people can testify to an event that leads them to focus on the meaning of life. For me, it was being fired from a job in which I had placed my, quote, faith that success would bring peace and purpose. People use the name of Jesus Christ every day. For many, it is employed as a curse. Few seem to silence those who blaspheme using his name. Speak ill of the Prophet Muhammad and you risk a fatwa and crazy storming your house. Speak ill of Jesus Christ and no one will come to your door. He may be the last, quote, religious figure one can still crucify without penalty, at least in the short term. Christians like Hume are not trying to impose anything on anyone. They know the difference Jesus has made in their lives, and they care enough about others to want to share his message in the hope that other lives will be similarly transformed. When he was president, Jimmy Carter shared his faith with South Korean President Park Chung-hee as the two rode in a limousine on the way to the airport. The New York Times ludicrously editorialized about a possible violation of church-state separation. It was Jesus of Nazareth who accurately predicted the hostile reaction to people who spoke well of him. He said in John chapter 15, 18 through 21, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." The title of the song is called Serve the Lord.
God.
goodbye. I believe I'm not alone with my faith in Jesus Christ. That is why all the more we will serve Him.
So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 18, we're going to read verses 31 through 38. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning? The context is the trial of Jesus. He's been arrested and he's gone before the council there and now before Pilate. This is where we pick this up. If you look with me at verse 31, reading through verse 38. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Do you say this of yourself, or did others tell it about you of me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, Are you a king then? And Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Then the words of Pilate. Pilate says unto him, What is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all. I find in him no fault at all. Let's pray as we come before the Lord this morning. Father, you are to be glorified in everything. And in this place today, we thank you for your presence that is here. Now we ask, Father, that you would, by the reading of your word and by considering the detailed truths that are here, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that you will move in our souls, that you will stir up our lives, so that we're not just mere professing Christian people out in this world. But Father, help us to understand and to see that you have moved in eternity and in time to bring us your grace and your mercy. And you have moved in history to bring us to confront ourselves with you and who you are and with the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, this morning that having been confronted by you and by our sins and by the suffering and the death of your Son and by his resurrection and his ascension back into heaven and his promise of his coming again, that we are to walk and to live our lives according to the things that are written in your word. Now this morning we pray that you will bless us from your word and by your spirit. And we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think it's been amazing how there's been a great harmony and unity of thought as we began the service this morning. Everything has come and has fit together. But as we come and look at this passage of Scripture, and it's compelling me that truth is more than what we've thought of it to be. And so we look into Scripture and we see what the Bible says, what God has to say about the truth and about what truth is. So I want to ask a few questions this morning, and I want to consider just a few things about truth. And I pray that it will compel all of us to think our lives, our priorities, our faith, and our commitments that we make in this world and this life to God, to one another, and to the other things, other areas of our lives. I want to begin by asking just a few questions. Think back to this moment, this morning, the moment in time when you were saved. You may not remember the time of year, the day, or whatever it is, but there is an event that took place in your life that you reference back to where you once called upon God and you received the forgiveness of your sins. I want you to think about that time in your life, that moment, that experience that you went through, that you had there. And I want you to ask yourself some very important questions, a couple or three very important questions. The first question I want you to ask yourself is this: why did you become a Christian? Why did you become a Christian? We've already heard the testimony about Britt Hume suggesting to Tiger Woods that he could come to turn to the Christian faith. I don't think correction I would say there. It's not the Christian faith that you turn to. It's the living Savior, Jesus Christ, that you turn to. That's just semantics. But let's just kind of get that clear. But why did you become a Christian? Was it to receive the forgiveness of your sins? Was it so that you could go to heaven when you died? Why did you become a Christian? In that event, that experience in your life, can you answer to yourself the question why you became a Christian? Then the second question, what has becoming a Christian meant to you in your life? And there's a lot of things that everyone could list, go down a list there. What has becoming a Christian done in your life? Then the third question is this: since becoming a Christian, how has your life been changed? And then we could ask the question we heard on the introduction to the Truth Project here: why did Jesus come into the world? And I suggest that almost everyone in this room would probably, the first answer they would give to the question, why did Jesus come into this world, would be to save us, to save me, to save sinners like me. He did do that, but that's not why he came into the world. He accomplished that. That was the end result. But we ask ourselves the question, why did the holy, infinite God of the universe, who spoke, and when he spoke, everything came into existence, why did he come into a sinful world and die and save us from our sins? Why did he do that? Was it to redeem us? Why did he do that? Did he do that to save the world? How can one man come into the world and save the entire world? Well, when we come and look at what Jesus spoke here with Pilate, and as we see recorded here for us through the Apostle John, we have come to understand that the picture is much bigger than what we have always thought about, or what we've always been led to believe, and how we've always looked at it, I suppose, is the best way to say that. And that is that we, in this conversation with Jesus, Jesus revealed to Pilate one of the most astounding truths, I believe, the most astounding truth in all of the Word of God. And all the Bible is the Word of God, and all the Word of God is truth, and all the Word of God is astounding. But there are some things some things that are central in truth, and Jesus revealed it here to Pilate. And let's go back and look at it here for just a moment. And he says, in this conversation, Jesus, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" And then, "Who told you this? Did someone tell you this? Or how did you come to ask me this kind of question?" Well, then in this response and in this situation there before Pilate, and Jesus tells and declares to Pilate that his kingdom is not from here, from this world and from this life. And then we see in verse 37, "You say that I'm a king, and to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." There Jesus gives the reason for his coming into the world, to bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. There's two important ideas there. There's two important doctrines there. The first doctrine that is there is that the purpose of Jesus coming to this world was to bear witness of the truth. The second doctrine, the second statement that is there, the final statement at the end of verse 37 there, is everyone who will hear the voice of God, the voice of Christ, are those who hear the truth, who desire the truth, and who want the truth. So as we examine this and we look at this passage for just a moment, we see that Jesus came to testify to the world of the truth. And what does it sound like? It sounds like a courtroom and a trial going on with many witnesses coming forth. You see, I would ask us this morning, I would submit to us this morning, something perhaps we're not really thought about this way before. What was on trial that day? Was it Jesus who was on trial? What was on trial in verse 37 there? The truth was on trial. Jesus himself going through a trial, but there representing his whole purpose, his whole reason coming in the world was to bear witness unto the truth. And it is, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, 75 times you see the phrase, "Jesus said, I tell you the truth." 75 times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth." In the Gospel of John, which we're reading in here, 25 times in John's Gospel, Jesus uses the word, the phrase, the formula, so to speak, "truly, truly, amen, amen." Whenever we pray and we end our prayer with amen, that's what we're saying. The word amen means truly. And so Jesus came to reveal the truth, to witness the truth, to bear witness of the truth. Look with me on the screen. You probably won't have time to turn. There's a lot of scriptures here, but just look up on the screen there in John chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Your word is truth." This is the prayer, the priestly prayer of Christ to the Father. "Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth." John 4:24, there with the Samaritan woman there at the well. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So now when the words of Jesus there, how Jesus responded and declared to Pilate his purpose of coming and being here, reveals to us a bigger picture than probably what we've had before. Because you see, truth is what it takes to set men free, to set people free. And if people need to be set free, what does that mean? It automatically implies and suggests and even declares that we are captive. And if we are captive, and indeed we are, we've heard that in both specials this morning. The one that Dean and Jean sang, the one that David sang, we've heard these truths so wonderfully declared in message and song there, that there is a captivity, that which captures us in this world and this life, and that is lies. We are captured in the captivity of lies. and is the truth that sets us free. And when our Lord stood before Pilate, he said, I came to bear witness unto the truth. And everyone who is of the truth, who is related to God through the truth, hears my voice, listens to Christ, and responds to him. And there's a faith thing that is going on there in their life. And so we see and we understand that this idea of being born into the world is that we have to deal with the lies that are there. I like what Brother Dr. Dale Tackett said there in the promo that was on the video just a few several moments ago. And he says, the church has swallowed up the lies of the world. You've heard me say that before. The church has taken it to itself, the lies of the world. You go and read the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And we see as Christ confronted those churches there through the epistles that John was to write and send to the messengers there of those churches, that he was confronting them with their sins. And you'll see the very first church there that they, one of the things that was happening and going on was the deceitfulness of lies. And so we see that we are captured into this world and this life by the lies of Satan, by the lies of the world which opposes the truth of God. And men and women are set free by the truth. Look with me at John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of what? Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, neither knows him. You see, it's about a relationship. There's no relationship with God by those of the world. But he says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he shall be in you. So there's this great relationship. It's God the Father, God the Son, and us, man. And in the heart of those who are born again and have Christ in them, the Spirit of God indwells. And so there is this relationship with God that we've talked about so much for the last few years. That's so vital and so very important. We have a relationship with the eternal deity. He is in us and we are in him through Jesus Christ. And so there is this powerful thought there, this powerful truth that is before us that ought to bring to us a setting free of our minds and our hearts from the things of the world. We need to detach ourselves as Christians from the catch of the world. Look at John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. What is the function, the work of the Holy Spirit? It is to guide his people, God's people, into all truth. Not part truth or some truth. And it's not to make us do all sorts of things, hop around, flop on the floor, and all those types of things. He will guide us into all truth. That is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And then he goes on to say, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You see, it is the Spirit of God who gives us the truth of God that sets us free, that enables us and empowers us and allows us to know God face to face. And I like what was one person said about prayer and about coming into the presence of God. And that is that if we are in the... people find it difficult to come into the presence of God sometimes. Many, maybe oftentimes, people find it difficult just to come aside and to come to God in prayer. And this quote goes on to say, that should not be the case. Before you see, if we truly are in the presence of God, the difficulty would be in leaving. Now, that's good. I didn't think it up. But that's good. You see, meeting and knowing God face to face because of the truth. Look what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:13. I give you charge in the sight of God who quickens or who makes alive all things. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And what was that good confession? It was that he came to bear witness of the truth. And Paul makes reference to that there to Timothy in his epistle. So now, this is just an appetizer, so to speak. But what does this mean for you and me? What does it mean to, how should it affect your life and my life as a Christian, as a child of God? Listen to me with what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's where we're at in our Christian world today. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from what? The truth. And shall be turned unto what? Fables. Lies. You see how Satan works? You see how life works? We're either under the authority of God with the truth, or we're under the authority or the influence of Satan with lies. And when the world is under the authority of Satan, under lies, they're in captivity. A lost person is someone who is captured and in bondage and enslavement to sin because of the lies that they have believed in their life. And it is the truth of God that brings people to an understanding to set them free. Look at John chapter 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say that I'm a king. To this end was I born. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. That bears repeating again and again and again. But the last part of that, last phrase of that verse, Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Listen to 1 John 4, 6. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. Hear doesn't mean just to listen. It means to hear and to obey from the heart and to put into life the things that have come to their hearing, to their ears. He that is not of God does not hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now when David was sharing the testimony, the newspaper article there, the clipping that was there, the response of the world to the truth is what? Antagonism. Hatred. Persecution. You can name Buddhists and all those other religions out there, and the world won't even bother you. But you speak the name of Jesus Christ and the world comes apart. You know why? Because they hate the truth. They hate God. And those of you and I who know God through the truth, they hate us. They just legally can't do anything about it yet, though they're gaining ground. So then we see what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is the Antichrist. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So you see, being saved is receiving the truth, the love of the truth. To hear the truth, to accept the truth, to embrace the truth is how men and women are set free from the bondage of their sins. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be condemned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, that's the way of the world. Those who love the lie love the sin. And so he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and what? And belief of the truth. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is the person. It's the embodiment of God, all that God is. All that God is, really is the truth. And all that God really is, we saw that a few months ago in Colossians, there, all that God is dwells bodily, physically, bodily in Jesus Christ. all the fullness of the Godhead. Then Romans 7:11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment, Paul said, deceived me and by it slew me. So you see, sin is deception. It's believing the lies, accepting the lies, and living according to them. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Deceitful, believing the lie, the lust that are there because of believing a lie. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the what? The deceitfulness of sin. Colossians 4:5-6, walk in wisdom toward them who are without, that is people who are lost. Walk in wisdom in your life, in the world, for those who are lost, those who are without the church, without the body of Christ, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. What's the best way to look at the lost world? They're deceived in the sin that's there. And the problem in the church today is the church is just like the world. The church has swallowed the lies of the world, the lies of Satan, and covered up the glory of the truth. And the sad thing is, it's in your life and my life. If we're not careful. It's why we need to examine ourselves and look at our hearts and look at our lives and come and submit and surrender ourselves daily before God, before His face. One last scripture, John 14:20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. And there's the relationship. There's the relationship. A lot more scriptures this morning, but I want us to close here. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we come before the Lord this morning. The invitation is for anyone who's in this room today. Anyone who has been listening and God has been moving and speaking into your heart and your life. You're here today. And you've been moved or stirred in your soul, in your spirit, in your mind. That is the working and the moving of God. And today, this day, I beg you, dare not walk out the doors of this building without having first come face to face with God and the truth about everything that's in your life. If you're here today and you were to die this day and you cannot say, I know that I am loved of God and I am accepted of God and I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you cannot say that and you were to die today, you would die in your sins and spend an eternity separated from God in the lake of fire, the place called hell. Then today's the day that you need to repent of your sins and come and humble yourselves before God and call upon Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to save you. And come to Him and surrender yourself to follow Jesus Christ in every day, everything in your life, everyday stuff in your life. You must. You can't just surrender part of your life, an area of your life. You've got to come to Him with your whole heart. That's faith. And faith is always obedience. If you're here in this place today, you say, I know that I know Him, but you know what? The things that I've heard today and the things that God has revealed in my heart today are not pleasing. Not pleasing to God, and I'm not satisfied that they're right in me, in my heart, in my life. Then today, God is saying to you, in this morning, in this invitation, God is saying to you, come. Cast the sin out of your life. Set your heart upon the truth. So that you'll recognize the lies that you have accepted. I don't know some of those lies are. The Word of God tells us that there's unity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The world divides. God's Word says there's diversity. There's the place of a man and a woman. The world says unification, God says a man shall not lie with a man as he lies with a woman. But the world says, do that. Come, let's get unified. Let's quit being different and let's try to all get on the same page. There are roles that God said for the man, for the husband, for the wife, for the children, for the employer, the employee, the government leaders, in the church and in the nation, in the country. There's responsibility, but the world says to blame. Blame things and people in your lives instead of taking responsibility. God says there's authority. God is the high authority. And then there's the authority structures of the family, the home, and the nation, and the people. But the world says rebellion. God says many things. God says freedom. The world tells lies so that men and women are in bondage. Where are you at in your relationship with Him today? Where are you at in your walk with Christ? Are you just a ho-hum Christian, just living life and you're happy and Jesus is a part of your life? And you come to church because you know Jesus and you love Jesus? But that's the extent of your walk with Him. See, God Himself became one of us to indwell the physical body of the man, Jesus. To lay down His life for you. That you might know Him. And the truth might affect and change your life.